Thank you, musician. That was wonderful. It's nice to sing when you got music. So if you do something wrong, nobody will even notice. Well, it's great to be once again with you and sharing the God's word. You know, I love to share Jesus wherever it's possible. We've been invited in various churches, and Brother David invited us if we can share the God's word with you, which is wonderful that we come here for one and one only reason: sit at Jesus' feet and worshiping him, because there is no other God beside him. All other gods will perish, but our God will last forever. Before we go any further, I ask you to please bow our heads for the short prayer. Our Father, which are in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we're coming before thy throne of grace to ask for the mighty Holy Spirit to fill this place. Open our spiritual eyes and mind, that the message which you have for us, that we will receive, and not only receive, but live accordingly and sharing with others. And Father, I ask, please use me mightily as the humble tool in your hands, because we ask and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, whenever I preach, I always ask Lord to impress me what he wants me to preach. You know, with this one, I was wrestling with the Lord for the few days, and I had completely different topic which I was trying to present. But always the thought came, preach the church and its identity. And you know, when the God impressed you, you just had to obey. You got no other choice. And the reason probably is that maybe we need, including myself, we all need this message which God himself wants to hear it. The title of my service is The Church and Its Identity. As you can see, the church standing on the Bible. So it means that this topic will be based on the Bible and the Bible only. This is our authority which God gave it to us. And the scripture reading for us is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 to 14. And I ask Brother David to read for us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 to 14.
If you got it in your Bibles, Deuteronomy 8, 7 to 14 says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage."
Thank you, David. May the Lord add rich blessings into the scripture reading. You know, my friends, the Bible is saying that the scripture reading is a wonderful like we're studying about Nebuchadnezzar. You know, every city, in the villages, towns, all around the world, we got the monuments and memorials that are erected for the specific purpose and the reason. And as we contemplate those monuments or memorials, we think, why on earth are they? Those monuments is telling us something. Something it's very important. Those monuments and memorials, it speaks to us. Don't forget. Don't forget. Remember those monuments, memorials. Don't forget. They tell us what happened in those places. It tells us the great events. They tell us the misery. They tell us the agony, the satisfaction, and glory, and the vision for the nations. So that's why those monuments are erected, to bring us to memory what had happened in such a place. You know, my brothers, my sisters, God too, He has memorial and monuments which He Himself set up. We can find these monuments and memorials in the Ten Commandments, especially in the fourth one, when God says, remember, remember. You know, this monument, this memorial, this two table stone, which God Himself wrote with His own finger. He didn't write on the sand. He didn't write on the paper, but on the stone. I very often thought, why on stone? Because they should never, ever be removed or changed. We can read this one in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. When God gave those two tables to Moses, those Ten Commandments, the Bible says, and God Himself, nobody else, God did not give this privilege to Moses, write those words. The Bible says, and God Himself wrote with His own finger those beautiful 10 precepts. I call this 10 blessings, because if we would keep them, we would be blessed. And you know that God gave this memorial for the specific purpose and reason. He said, remember that I create this world. Remember that this world did not come from the Big Bang and here it come. He said, remember that I have created you. You did not come, evolved from the monkey for millions of years. My brothers, my sisters, we come from the intelligent designer, God Himself. He said, let us make a man on our image. And God did. He created us. So every time when you open this Exodus chapter 20, especially verse 8, God says, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. In the busyness of this world, my friend, we very often haven't got much time for the Lord during the week, because God says that 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day, remember seventh day, it's my day I'm giving to you. Sabbath was given for the man, not the man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Lord is the Lord also of what? Of Sabbath. So in the Sabbath, we can leave aside all our worldly pleasures, worldly things, come to the church, unite our voices with holy angels and praising the Lord. My friends, When we're going to be in heaven, we will unite our voices with angels and redeem one. Can you imagine the choir it will be? And God himself will be in our audience. Worship and glory and adoration belongs to God and God only. So those monuments are erect for the specific purpose and reason. And God knows that as the week is over, we're getting tired, and God said, you need rest, spiritual, physical, and mental. Can you see what a wonderful God we have which we're serving? So why do we have them? Because, my friend, we tend to forget. We tend to forget very quickly why those monuments are. As Brother David read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want you to have a look in verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, and God said, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping the 10 his commandments, his judgment, and his statute, which I have commanded you. Beware, don't let anybody will mislead you or lead you astray. Beware, the Lord says. Remember how the hand of God was leading in the past and how is leading you right now. I got a little clipping from Spirit of Prophecy. It's a beautiful book, and it says like this. It's from the Testimony to Churches. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way that the Lord has led us and has teaching in our past history. We got nothing to fear, my friend, as long as we remember what God is saying to you and to me. Be aware. You know, this was the Moses' greatest concern as he was preparing to lay down the mantle of leadership and giving to Joshua, which God chose the next leader. And as he was, before he lay down, this is the words which Brother David was reading. The Moses was reminding the Israelites, don't you ever forget. Remember your Lord, your God. And again, my friend, as Joshua was finally took over and was leading the nation of Israel to promised land, Joshua's concern was exactly the same. We read very quickly in Joshua chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 4, my friends. Joshua chapter 4, it's on a few pages. Joshua chapter 4, verse 22 and 24. Listen what Joshua's concern was. And those 12 stones, they were crossing the Jordan River on the dry land, like Moses was leading through the Red Sea on the dry land. And then Joshua said, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are those stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. My friend, there was the concern of Moses. There was concern also of Joshua. When the children will ask you, tell them. You know, when people will ask you, why are you keeping Sabbath? Tell them. It's not you have to invent anything. Tell them. That's God himself set it apart. Tell them, the Lord God rolled the Jordan River, so we cross on dry land. History, my friend, has shown that as the movement matures and gets to respectable stage, and as it comes into third and fourth generation, we got tendency to forget its reason for existence. Has been proven over and over. And history, it's, if you don't believe me, you can go to the history and you will find out that we, as we get to third and fourth generation, we have tendency to forgetting for existence. We as Seventh Adventists, I'm going now to us. We as Seventh Adventists, my friend, are not immune. We are facing the same danger as others of forgetting the three fundamental things. No church in the world is immune. And especially the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I will get into it. We are not immune. Satan is after this church. And we tend, not all of us, but the tendency are that we tend to forget three fundamental things. What are they? Who are we? Who are we? Second one, why do we exist? And the third one, where are we today in the world's history? I will go very quickly through those points. And please forgive me if I will go a little bit over the 12 o'clock. I didn't start on 11, so Sabbath is finishing what time? 6:45, so we got plenty of time. And the lunch can wait. We're not that hungry. So those three fundamental things, it's a vital and very important for our existence. You know, my brothers, my sisters, one of the saddest and most frightening health condition to affect our generation is that of the Alzheimer's disease. More and more people are facing this disease, which is in advanced stages, causes the brain to degenerate and malfunction to the extent that the person becomes disconnected, disorientated, disconnected to the past and forgets his or her own identity. It's sad. We had our best friend, his father, had this disease, and how sad it was when we were visiting him. he get to state that he even did not recognize his son. This is, my friend, is one of the most frightening nightmares to descend upon our generation. They spend the millions of dollars to try to fight this disease, like with the cancer. If we lose our memory, we lose our essential identity, who we are. If the time, my brothers, my sisters, fellow believers, if the time ever comes when we as church, as Seventh-day Adventist Church, forget who we are, why do we exist, and where are we to die, then we would have come succumb to the spiritual Alzheimer. The Bible says, when we come to the place where we lose the zeal as a church, as we come to the place where we lose the zeal for this church, when we lose the first love. There was a problem with the first church. You remember we were started seven churches, and first church, Ephesus, that Jesus was referring to this church, I got something against you. You lost the first love. My friends, if we lose our zeal for this church, if we lose the first love, the enthusiasm, the drive which is moving us, and we began to question our fundamental beliefs and our doctrine on which we are standing, whether we are in the right church. Should we pay the tithe and the offering and support this organization? We're losing our identity, not knowing quite where we really are. You know, I had many opportunities to talk to the other people, and when I'm doing the Bible study and visiting, even we retired, but you know, I was always thinking when you retired, you will have nothing to do. But we are much more busier than before. The only one difference is that whatever we're doing, it's for free. Before I got pie. But now it's for free. But we're not complaining because Lord supply our needs. So my friends, when we lose those things, when we start questioning ourselves, why do I keep Sabbath? Why not Sunday? Majority keep Sunday. What's wrong with you people? When all the things will come to your mind, we're really losing all those things which I mentioned. And we're losing, and we do not know who we are. Do we standing on the solid ground and nothing will move us? You know, this first text, the scripture reading which we just read, at the beginning, God speaks to uneducated slaves, and he was leading them and on the verge of the Canaan to the promised land. God gives them caution. And that's what Bible says. With Brother David was reading, he said, beware. Beware of those things. And you know, my brother, my fellow believers, that what was for them is not irrelevant for us who is living in the last days of the world's history. I'm not going to read again because the time is a wasting. I don't want to waste the time. But if you especially concentrate on verse Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 12 to 14, how much time we should meditate, we should think on those texts today, my brother, my sister. The tragedy is that when we've been lifted up, when our bank accounts start growing, when we build our luxurious home, when we got everything what our soul desires, and when we can and able to afford everything what we want, very often, we turn our backs on church and God. You go to other churches and you find out whatever I'm saying, it's true. Why the churches are empty today? You ask any priest or minister or pastor, you will find exactly the same answer. Why the churches are empty? You know why? Because we're forgetting who gave us all this. We're forgetting that God is the one who gave us the wisdom, health, and strength to get this world. Instead, we share those blessings with others. We're turning the back to church and to on God. We're keeping the contact with my family in Poland, and they're telling us exactly the same. The people are not interested in the church. They're leaving the church. I'm not gonna, you know, go any further because, no, I bet I don't. When we get to this stage, my friend, remember God. You know, God wants you to be happy, wealthy. Look at Abraham. Look at Job, one of the richest men who ever lives. But they were faithful. Job was tested, and he didn't know why all those things coming upon him. Don't forget who gave you all the things. And we lose our identity and we just do not know who we are. Bible is very clear, my friend. And leave no doubt who we are. Now listen what the Bible says who we are. We are God's remnant church. We are the one who keep the Ten Commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We are the remnant church, the church, last church from the seven churches. We are Laodicean church. Even we are weak as the weak can be, but God says, I love this church. I advise you, I giving you subscription to come out from this lethargy. Do not be warm, lukewarm. I want you to be hot. God says, I would rather want you to be cold than lukewarm. With lukewarm people, you can't do anything because they're satisfied. They've got everything what they need. So why should I do anything more? And what is this testimony of Jesus? The Bible is very clear. We find this in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And my friend, I am proud. I belong to this church. Not as proud as the King Nebuchadnezzar. I am thankful, God, that He led me into this church, where this church buys this truth on the Bible and the Bible only. And on the top of it, God gave us the spirit of prophecy. Spirit of prophecy, my friend, leading us to the bigger light, which is God's holy word. How wonderful it is. And the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, add to this who we are. Turn your Bibles and look into it. Or you can read from the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye, you, my friend, but ye are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's God is speaking to you and to me. His own special people. We are God's chosen. God has want to choose everyone. The Bible says as many as called, but only few chosen. Why? Because we're rejecting Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants everybody to be saved. It's our choice. If we miss the heaven, it's not going to be God's fault, but it's our own fault. God Himself made it very clear. I have chosen you. You are the special generation. You know, my friend, we as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, people of this church, God Himself has chosen you. To give for what? Why we exist? Why we are here? The God gave this beautiful church the message which needs to be preached, the mercy of love to a dying world. You know, many people, when you talk to them, they don't even know who Jesus is. The world is dying without Jesus. You know, my friend, the time will come when maybe your friend or your neighbor will tell you and say, you knew it. Why did you share it with me? Why you were so selfish? You're going to be in New Jerusalem. What about me? And that's why, my friends, never forget, Satan hates the Seventh Adventist Church. You know why? Because the Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 is telling us very clear that Satan is enraged. He's furious. Why? Why about this church? Only those who keep the commandments of God and have a faith of Jesus Christ. You know, my friend, if God would not put the protection for this church, I believe that Satan would wipe away every Seventh-day Adventist. But he won't. Because God says, that's my people. And those people, God's specific purpose and the reason to be here. Satan can do whatever we please. But if you are in God's hands, who can take you out from him? Never, my brother, my sister, forget who you are. Why you here? Why you here? Let's keep moving because the time is against. Why do we exist? We know who we are. We know the Bible and the spirit of prophecy is telling us, but now why? Why do we exist? With so many, my friends, religious denomination all over the place. There are over a few thousand religions and cults all over the world. Why one more? Why one more? What do we have for the people that makes a difference, us and them? Without denying, my friend, the Christian's integrity of everyone. I'm not knocking any religion whatsoever. They're all beautiful people. Everybody needs the Christ. And the Bible says, Jesus calling his people from the various churches. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, that says, come out from him, my people. So God has his people everywhere. When he calls you from something, he will lead you to somewhere. He's not gonna, I call you and now you're on your own. No, my friend. What do we have which we can share with other people? Listen to this. We need to understand that this movement to which you and I we belong was especially raised by God in according with what? With prophecy. Do you believe that? Why we exist? Prophet Isaiah chapter 58 verse 12 says, those from among you shall build the old wise places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the bridge, the restorer of the street to dwell. Why we exist? As the text will tell you. We have to restore this beautiful truth. Lifted up Jesus as high as he never been lifted before. That's why we exist. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the bridge, the restorer of the path to dwell in. That's why we exist, my brother, my sister. We exist to proclaim the truth of the heavenly origin. The Seventh-day Adventists never invented any truth. We base our beliefs on the Bible and the Bible only. We exist to proclaim the truth of the heavenly origin. The most solemn, sacred work ever given to the mortal is to proclamation of the three angel message. Did you get it, my friend? To this dying world. Sister White says, now is the time when the three angel message ought to be proclaimed clear and loud. This is the message for today. God has called his church in this day as he called ancient Israel to stand as the light in the earth. And Jesus said in Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. We should never ever compromise this beautiful truth. It's a great privilege to belong to this movement, but it is a great responsibility. And with each responsibility, it's also accountability. One day, my friend, you and I, we're going to stand before the judgment throne. And Jesus will ask you a very simple question. I gave you this beautiful truth. Let us not be like this king who gave the talents, and the last one, he dig it, hide it. Let us use this to glory of God so we can be blessings to the church. Never compromise the truth. Truth never need to be defended. Truth need to be said. We should never compromise, never compete with the world. The church is the place of worship. The church is not a place of entertainment. I'm sad, my friend, to say that a lot of churches to keeping young and old people bringing entertainment to keeping them in the church. That's not the church. We should never bring the world into the church. We should keep the world outside the church. The Jesus is telling us in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations and teach them everything what I have commanded you, not what the church is teaching you, but what I have commanded with you, and I am with you till the end of the world. Go ye, my brother, my sister, fellow believer, you go ye, it's you and me, all of us. Tell the world what Jesus has done to you. And this gospel, the Bible says, will be preached to all the nations before Jesus will come. We as the church, young and old, now listen very carefully, my friend. We as the church, young or old, are engaged in the same noble task. Live for Jesus and preach the gospel. Amen? We should never, never separate young from the old or old from the young. We are all united, one church. Sister White says the young people should learn from the old people, those experienced ones. We should work together. We should love one another. We should uplift one another. We're working on the Lord's vineyard, and we're working together. We should have a personal relationship with Jesus on a daily basis to know him and his love and to share Jesus with others. My friend, if we're not going to spend the time with Jesus on a daily basis, how can we share Jesus to others? I probably told you already, but maybe you forgot, but I will repeat again. There was a Catholic nun come to the bishop and said, Bishop, do you know Jesus? And he said, of course I do. Then she was quiet for a little while, and then she turned again. But Bishop, I ask you, do you know Jesus? And he turned to her and said, how dare you can ask me? I finished PhD degree. I know what I'm talking. But the third time she turned, he said, but Bishop, do you really truly know Jesus? You know what did he say? I know all about Jesus, but I do not know him personally. And that's the problem with the Christianity today. We've got the knowledge. We've got everything. But do we spend time at Jesus' feet? Are we listening to the small voice speaking to us? Are our characters changed and reflecting Jesus? Why we exist? We exist to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Let's share this light. Let's not hide it under the bushels. The world should see something in us and desire what we have. From my favorite author, listen what she says, why we exist. Seventh Adventists, above all people, should be patterns of piety, holy in heart and conversation. To them have been entrusted the most solemn truth ever committed to mortal. Wonderful scenes are opening before us, and at this time, a living testimony is to be born in the lives of God's professed people, so that the world may see that in this age, when evil reigns on every side, there is yet a people who are laying aside their will and are seeking to do God's will. A people in whose hearts and lives God's law is written. God expects those who bear the name of Christ represent Him. The thoughts are to be pure, the words noble and uplifting. The religion of Christ is to be interwoven with all that they do and say. They are to be a sanctified, purified, holy people, communicating light to all with whom they come in contact. It is His purpose that by the exemplifying the truth in their lives, they shall be a prize in the earth, and the grace of Christ is sufficient to bring this about. Now, we exist, my friends, to preach the everlasting gospel, three angel message, sanctuary message, righteousness by faith, health message, and dress reform. This is why we exist. My brother, my sister, if you don't believe me, go from church to church. Find me those things which they will preach. I talked to many people in different denominations. They said they're not even touching the revelation. My friend, this is the love message. Three angel message should be clear and loud speak. Now, where are we today? How close are we? I don't know, my friend. I can't give you the date because nobody knows. And one of the dangerous things for any Christian is to setting the dates when Jesus is going to come. The Jesus Himself says, nobody knows, even angels, only the God the Father. But I can tell you one thing. I can tell you that we are very close, closer than you think and I. We are living, I tell you where we are living in the, according to the scripture. We are living in between verses 13 and 14 of Revelation chapter 6. I believe that we are on the border of the heavenly Canaan. For example, Jesus said, when you see those things in Gospel of Luke 17, 26 to 7, as it was in days of Noah. And we know what was the days in Noah. You can read it in scripture in Genesis chapter 6 and all those things. And I haven't got the time, so jot it in and read it, study in home. My friend, today, exactly what they, before Noah's, before the flood came, exactly what happened. The blood was flowing freely on the road. The life was for nothing. the murders, the all the horrible things. And I don't have to tell you, my friend, the carnage which is going to die in the world. My wife and I were watching the world news. And would you believe that children as young, as a girl or mile, girl as young as 9 years old, are murderous, killing the parents, the brothers, the sisters, the neighbors, the grandparents, as 9 years old? Where are they getting this from? Where are they getting these ideas? You know where from? Media, TV, internet. All this rubbish is there. How important parents is to control your children, what they watching. Very often the parents are so busy, so they're putting the kids in front of the TV, and TV is an entertainer. And then they're growing in that sort of spirit. And then the Bible also says, as there was in the days of Lot. And you know what was in the days of Lot. Today, my friend, we see the same boldness, the same defiance, the same brazenness, parading our street every year in Sydney, Mardi Gras. It's revolting. It's disgusting. And you know what? Is that with blessings of politician and religion. This sign, you know, as you can see, the same-sex marriage, transgender. Today I am man, tomorrow I am a woman. I can do with my body whatever I please. And the sad part is that you cannot say a word because it is impolitically correct. It's politically incorrect. You can't say it. You can be in trouble. And we know, my friends, we know from the history that a civilization is nearing the end when it begins to shake its fist in the face of God in arrogant defiance. I can do whatever I please. They're forgetting when Paul says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are bought with the price, precious blood of Jesus. Our body belongs to God who created us and redeemed us. We twice belong to Him. You can do whatever you please to do with your body. And when the nation starts shaking their fist in arrogance defiant, we have come to the time now, right now, my friend. We can see what was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Why those angels were in the Lord's place. What did they try to do? Why did that name from Sodom come from Sodomite? And when these things began to come, now listen to this one. Luke 21:28, Jesus said, and when these things began to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. How close we are? Very close, my friend. We're going home. Jesus is coming very soon, my friend. That's why the gospel, this beautiful truth of Jesus Christ, got to be preached to every kingdom and tongue and nation. All the things, what he was saying, all these things are fulfilling in the very front of our eyes. The wars and rumors of wars. Earthquake. We nearly landed in Third World War, America with Iran. And you heard it in the news. The whole world was worried. And you know, and what about Palestine and Israel? The general which USI kill it, they choose another one. And he is even worse than the first one. He said, we don't want a war with America, but what I pledge, I will wipe up Israel from the map of the world. How close we are? Very close, my friend. Remember that Iran was very close of atomic bomb. You need only one unbalanced man to press the button, and we are in disaster. Earthquake. There wouldn't be a die when somewhere earthquake is coming. In Mexico, there was big one, killed a lot of people. Floods in various parts of the world are floods. Droughts, we experience drought. We don't have to look in other places. Fires, Australia never ever experienced the fires like this. And if you listen to the world news, they were saying that Australia is on the fire. And still fire is going on. Volcanoes, New Zealand, Philippines, pestilence, the fight to epidemic diseases, coronavirus. They're saying that this virus can bring the recession to Australia and the world. My friend, if we're not going to open our eyes and see what's happening around us, I don't know what else God can do to us. The whole world is worried how to stop this virus. Climate change. You know very well that in this year, 14th of May, everybody is interested what's going on. The Pope is calling all the political and religious leaders to come to Vatican and tackle this climate change. And guess who will be main speaker? That person. You know what he will say? I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of prophet. But I can see the Sunday law is just around the corner. He will say, I've got a solution, but I'm the one that you will listen what I got to say. But my friends, a good news is, despite all those horrible things happening, which should wake us up from Laodicean stage, the gospel of Jesus Christ going to all the world powerfully. Thousands upon thousands of people are baptizing and accepting Jesus Christ. Next month in March, we're going to Philippines running the crusade. I ask you to please pray for us, because this coronavirus might stop it. But we pray that God is much more powerful. He is a sovereign God. This gospel will go to all the kingdom, tongue, and the nation. Then Jesus will come. That's what Bible says, that Jesus' words for a witness. Not everybody will accept. But nobody in judgment day says, Lord, if I only knew it, I would give the life to thee. But they say to all the world, the witness to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, my friends, according in Revelation 22, verse 11, very soon, Jesus will pronounce those words. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. My friend, according to 3IBN record, it says that this gospel is just about going all around the world. Soon, very soon, Jesus will leave the most holy place, take his priestly robe, and put the kingly robe, and come to take us home. And next verse, straight after this, verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Brothers and sisters, we are standing on the verge of the Canaan. Believe or not, we're going home. Jesus very soon will come. So let us never forget who we are, why do we exist, where are we to die. Soon, very soon, my friend, the heaven will be split asunder, and we shall see him for whom we have so long waited. And then I pray that all of us who are here, we might say, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he came to save us. Brothers and sisters, let this hope was burning in your hearts. We're going home. It's a good news. This all horrible things, one day will finish. It will stop. And Jesus will set up his kingdom. This rock, without a human hand, will smash the image of the Daniel 2 in the feet, grind them into the power, and create a beautiful kingdom which will last forever. May the Lord richly bless you, my brothers and sisters, as we continue this journey towards the Canaan land. That all of us with all our family will be in God's kingdom is my prayer. Amen. Let us stand and finish the final hymn, which is 618. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, once again we come before thy throne of grace to thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for revealing to us this beautiful truth that we know where we are in these last days of the world's history. Father, what a joy it will be when we see Jesus face to face. And we might hear these beautiful words, well done, good and faithful servants, come home. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, the place is prepared, but we're not ready. Open our eyes and minds that we might see our wretchedness and allow the Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts and change us from glory to glory. That Jesus will be a reflection in our characters, on our daily lives. And now, Father, we ask, please dismiss us with your blessings. Watch over us, lead us, guide us, and correct us, because we ask and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.